On the screen behind me, I want to tell you a little bit about an upcoming series that we're going to do church-wide. It's called The End of Me, and I hope your eyes can see that better than I can. But The End of Me is a great book that's written by Kyle Eidelman, and we will be doing a church-wide study each week in your Sunday school classrooms and in the adult down through our youth. We will be covering the ideas of coming to the end of ourselves. What does it mean for us to die to ourselves? And only when you come to the end of yourself can you begin to experience the full, blessed, and whole life that Jesus Christ offers to each and every one of us. I'm looking forward to the time together. If you would like to, there is a journal that we'll be using during the series. And if you'd like to pick one up, they're at the back table for $10. Just simply cover the cost of publishing that or whatever it costs us. And I know that you'll enjoy that as we journey together church-wide. I want to say thank you for being here this morning. I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that you're ready to worship the Lord. I'm glad you're ready to be in His Word. I appreciate Pastor Nick and Osway as they took over as I was gone last week. I'd much rather have been here than where I was. But I appreciate the way that you just carry on without me, and that's a blessing. If you have your Bibles, stand and open them up. If you don't, you can look at the screen. Aren't you glad we have a screen? How many are glad you have a screen? How many really don't care? How many are glad we have a Bible? How many are glad we have the Word of God that we can read? Amen. I like that. All right. Just get a little bit excited about God's Word. All right, we find here in John chapter 13 a very interesting, if you will, story as Christ was coming to the close of His ministry. And so here we go. Let's read together, or I'll read for you as you follow along. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under His power, and that He had come from God and was returning to God. Those are important things for us to remember this morning. So He got up from the meal, meaning Jesus, and He took off His outer clothing, and He wrapped a towel around His waist. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash His disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that He had wrapped around Him. He came to Simon Peter, and who said to Him, "Lord, are You going to wash My feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later on you will understand." "No," Peter said, "you shall never wash My feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with Me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just My feet, but My hands and My head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, for though not every one of you." For He knew who was going to betray Him. And that was why He said, "Not every one of you are clean." When He had finished washing their feet, He put on His clothes and returned to His place. And He said, "Do you understand what I have done for you?" He asked them, "You call Me teacher and Lord. And rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your teacher, your Lord, have washed your feet, so you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." Heavenly Father, we pray Your blessing on the reading of Your Word. And Lord, may Your Word come alive in our hearts this day. In Thy name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If we're going to have a clear understanding of what it means to be a servant, we need to look at the example that Jesus set for us here, especially in the scripture we've read this morning. It's this walk of servanthood, this walk of a servant is consistent with who we are in our new walk, our new life in Jesus Christ. We can't say Christ is living in us and through us and not be a servant. We cannot say that Christ is in us and living through us unless we are a servant. Jesus showed exactly what servanthood looks like here in this scripture. It happened on the last night when He was going to be betrayed and soon put on trial, then of course crucified and put to death and then in the tomb. He was eating the Passover with His disciples that evening. And Jesus and his disciples there, where they were at the table. Now, in some of the versions of the Bible that you may have with you, it says that they what? They reclined at the table. Now, do you know what that means? How many of you, when you were growing up, got in trouble for sleeping or having your elbows on the table? You remember that? We don't eat that way. Well, these guys were laying down, and they would lay on their left side. I don't know why. Maybe that's the digestive situation. I have no idea. But they laid on their left side facing the table. Okay, they didn't sit in chairs like we did, and their legs would extend behind them with their feet. Now, they did that for a reason. Because they're, well, it was kind of like what Jesus said about Lazarus when he died. They stinketh. Okay? Their feet were dirty, and you know how when you get sweaty and the mud just kind of sticks. And back then, they didn't have Nikes or Reeboks or Skechers and all those things that you all have on your feet this morning. They just had sandals, and most of them not even sandals. And so their feet were completely filthy and stinky and dirty. And they would extend it behind them for what reason? So that somebody would come along and wash them. Now, not just anybody, all right? The person that was chosen to wash their feet would have been the lowest person in the household. Might have been the youngest child. It might have been the lowest servant. But I want you to understand that the lowest position in the house was the one who got to wash the feet of those who were reclining at the table. But at this dinner, have you noticed something? There's no slaves. There's no one in that lower position, if you will, in the group. It was the 12 disciples in Jesus. Was there anyone there who was qualified to wash feet? Well, according to the Gospel of Mark, the disciples had just had a great discussion about the fact that who was going to be greatest in the kingdom and who would sit at Jesus' right and left side. They were nowhere were they ready to be anybody's servant. In fact, they wanted to find out who's going to be the greatest. And we even have the one mom who, bless her heart, went to Jesus and said, hey, give one of my sons your right and one of my sons your left place and position. So Jesus took the initiative here and he began to demonstrate what it means to really be a servant. And this morning, just before we come to the Lord's table, Jesus said it this way, I have not come to be served, but to serve. And it's interesting, he did that, and he made that so very clear on the night that he shared the Passover with his disciples, which we will do in just a few moments. Now understand, this was kind of a strange experience for the disciples. In fact, as they, I couldn't help but think that as they looked around the room, they thought, John, Peter, James, and John, they got to go. They were like extra special guys. So they got to go places that nobody else got to go. And I imagine they looked around and said, hey, you know what, Thomas? You're not as special as we are. Maybe you should wash the feet. Or maybe they went to one of the other ones and said, maybe you should wash it. Or Judas, you're the treasurer. Maybe you need to wash our feet. It was interesting. There was no one there to wash their feet, but who was it who got up and took a towel and wrapped it around them, began to wash their feet? It was Jesus. And every one of them, you can't tell me, but I know every one of those guys is like, man, Jesus should not be doing this. However, I'm not. Was every one of their responses. Jesus said, and he showed them that night, I have not come to be served, to serve. I want you to notice also, as the scripture pointed out, as we read it, his interaction with Peter. Now we know Peter, he's kind of, you know, Mr. Open your mouth, think later kind of guy. Jesus came around to Peter. I don't know if you get this. In fact, I just want you to know that I came this close to washing somebody's feet up here this morning. You say, well, who did you chosen? I hadn't chosen anybody. I was just going to look out there and choose somebody. And you're like going, whew. What if I would have chose you? For me to come, you and in front of everybody else, wash your feet. So I think we miss what happened that night. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the very God Himself, wrapped the towel around His waist and washed your feet and mine. Comes to Peter. And Peter said, no, wait, no, you're not going to wash my feet. In fact, in the Scriptures, it kind of comes out as a question. Jesus, are you going to wash my feet? No, I think it was more of a statement. Wash my feet, Jesus? I don't think so. I'm not worthy of that. But Jesus surprised Peter, didn't he? He said, Peter, if you don't let me wash your feet, then you have no place with me. And then Peter's response was what? Lord, if that's the way it's got to be, then not just my feet, but my head, just everything about me. Jesus surprises Peter. He surprises us. Why? Well, we can't belong to Christ until we allowed Him to wash us. We humble ourselves before our Lord and Savior and ask for His cleansing, His forgiveness. And as I was thinking about this, the very act of repentance reminds me that, you know what, we're all the same. Every one of us this morning. As I've heard said so many times, the ground at the foot of the cross is what? It's level. But here's what I see is he talked to Peter, and as I read the Scripture, listen, servanthood without repentance is just kind of a strange, weird pride in our lives. If we're, you know, I think we can see that without repentance, that serving others or serving those around us can kind of be a thing that helps us to feel good. I'm going to be a part of this ministry, or I'm going to go do this because it makes me feel good. So we kind of serve from this position of superiority, like the great white hope has arrived to serve you. But the cross changes all of that. Like Peter, every single one of us are forced to wait humbly in front of Jesus as He bleeds from the cross and cleanses us from our sin. We're forced to admit, my own feet are dirty. And once we've been washed by the Master, it is then that we're ready to serve. In our quest for, I don't know, marks and indications of spiritual maturity, we cannot bypass this quality that we find in Jesus Christ, this unselfish servanthood. And Mark 10:45 says it this way, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give His life a ransom for many. The Apostle Paul added to this focus, this idea, when he wrote these words in Philippians 1:4, he said, each of you should be concerned not only with your own interests, but with the interests of others as well. You see, there's no question that if we're going to grow and mature into Christ-like followers and a Christ-like character, then we must experience growth in giving ourselves to the ministry, giving ourselves to the servanthood of others. Now, you know as well as I do that this idea of servanthood runs cross-grain with the culture in which we find ourselves today. In our culture, there's such a focus on our own personal happiness and comfort. There's this preoccupation, if you will, that with self today, with who we are. I mean, some slogans, be all you can be, experience your full potential, and the titles of books that are out today, even Christian books, I wrote a couple of them down. The Christian Secret of a Happy Life. Haven't read that one yet. And the list, you know, just goes on and on and on. And I'm not saying that these books maybe don't have or contain a little bit of biblical truth, or maybe they really will help us in dealing with certain problems that we face as human beings. But the message, whether explicit or implicit, suggests that the prime goal of life should be pursuing our own comfort. The experience, if you will, of some form of self-expression rather than growing in the character and the quality of the life and example of Christ. To put it simply, our modern day society is so focused on making satisfaction its goal. And yes, I even think self-satisfaction becomes a religion. There's more concern for my self-fulfillment than for pleasing God and truly serving Him and those around me. Typical of today is some how-to books, you know, that you run across, and they're aimed at directing us more at successful relationships or becoming more a better person or realizing our full potential or experiencing more thrills or whatever it might be, whipping ourselves into shape maybe, or maybe improving our diet, our money position, you know, all of that. And again, while these things are important and maybe have their place, it takes the focus off what truly is at the heart of what it means to be a follower of Christ. And that's simply this. And Jesus put it very simply, to love God and to love others. To be His servant and to be a servant through the power of the Holy Spirit to those around us. So what exactly is this idea of servanthood? What does it actually mean? I looked it up. Servanthood is the quality of one who lives as a servant. Further, it says a servant is first of all one who is under submission to another. What does that mean to you and I as followers of Jesus Christ? That means that we are under a submission first of all to God. And then once I've submitted myself to Him, I find it easy to submit myself to those around me. A servant is one who seeks to meet the real needs of others and of the one that they're serving. Servanthood, being a servant to those around us. However, when serving others and their needs, if the underlying motive or goal in my life is their praise or the praise of those of whom the service is rendered to, then our service, our servanthood really becomes what? Becomes hypocritical. This type of service is really aimed at, once again, serving my own needs, helping me feel better about who I am, making me feel personally significant. Christ's plan, it's His plan that brings maximum blessing to our lives and to the life of the church, is this idea of servanthood. As our scripture passage so wonderfully illustrated, Jesus came as a servant with a commitment to serve others. Just think for just a minute. What if Jesus had come to be served? I'll tell you, our redemption would have never happened. And likewise, our failure to live as servants of Christ throws up a huge barrier, if you will, as we try to effectively minister to those around us. I see kind of two options that we have. Either we'll seek to serve ourselves, a choice that kind of just nullifies our ability or capacity to be His disciple, or we'll learn to live as servants out of faith and a relationship with a God and a Savior who is our example. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said it this way. No one is able to serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. And no one is able to serve God and possessions. Christ shows that the body of Christ is to function on the basis of servant ministry to others. Spiritually mature people who experience Christ's life are those who have, first of all, developed a servant heart like Jesus did. I don't think there's any passage that illustrates it better than ours that we have read today. here in that upper room when Jesus was with his disciples, he really drove home the point and the issue and the nature of what it means to be a servant. I want you to notice that the source of Jesus' actions that night in the upper room, it lay in his acknowledgement and his understanding and his security of who he was and where he was going. Earlier in the scripture, it said that he was going back to the Father. Jesus was completely aware of his sovereign authority, his where he came from as the Son of God and what his destiny would be even after going through the trial and the crucifixion. And what did he do? He submitted and depended by faith on what the Father was doing. So in that confidence, if you will, Jesus voluntarily took the place of a slave and washed the feet of his disciples because he knew the end. Christ's security was his love and his confidence in the Father that allowed Jesus to just become this servant, if you will, and an amazing example. The attitude, faith, the action that was shown by Jesus' entire ministry here on earth kind of gives to you and I the perfect example of what he desires of us in our lives. It also demonstrates how servant living is accomplished through us, through faith and understanding of who we are in Christ and by the confidence that we get and we have in our Father. After Jesus was finished washing the feet of the disciples, it says that he returned to his place at the table and he made a very pointed application. And I want to read it for you once again. They're found in verses 12, 13, 14, and 15. It says, after he had washed their feet, he put his robe again on and sat down and asked, do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I wonder what the disciples did right then. He said, I've given you an example to follow. Notice his last words. Do as I have done to you. Just imagine those disciples around the table go, oh no, here we go. Now we're going to have to wash everybody's feet. We're going to take turns and go around the whole table. I got to wash Peter's feet. I got to wash John's feet. He thinks he's all that. Jesus said, have you seen what I've done? Have you seen what I've done? And you must do the same. Jesus drove home this inescapable lesson. If Jesus Christ, the Master, the one that they worship, that we worshiped, if he assumed the role of a servant to minister to others around him, then certainly those disciples and you and I must likewise take up the towel of servanthood and minister to others rather than just seeking our thing or to elevate ourselves. Ironically, and contrary to the thinking of the world, Jesus was saying that really true blessing comes in serving others. The basic issue in living as servants, as those committed, if you will, to meeting the needs of others, is a deep down humility that's willing to pick up the servant's towel. And regardless of who it is, or what they're about, or what their station in life, it doesn't matter. You see, in Christ, God calls every single one of us to live as servants. Serving others with Jesus as our prime example, the one who, though he was God, took upon himself the form of a servant. When Jesus came in the world, and if some of us wrote the story, it would have been a little different. When Jesus came into the world, he didn't come into some wealthy guy's house and with all the material blessings of the day. In fact, he came into a really poor house. He didn't come into a royal home like maybe Caesar's. Even though Jesus had the right to rule the world, he was not born, if you will, with all that hoopla, but rather took on the place in life as a servant. When Jesus came into our world, he came as one who had no rights of his own. Folks, let me tell you something. The minute that Jesus stepped off of that throne in heaven, he gave up every right he had. The test of whether I'm truly maturing and learning what it means to be a Christ-like servant is how I act when other people treat me wrongly or as a servant. So here's the question. As we come to the table of the Lord this morning, am I in submission to the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I in submission to others? Am I seeking to serve, or am I seeking to be served in pursuits of my wants? Philippians 2, 1-4 says, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together with the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, working together with one mind and one purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't look out for your own interests, but take interest in others too. As the God of peace and comfort, he wants us to have his peace. He wants us to have his comfort. But you know what? Jesus, God the Father, is more concerned with our character than he is our comfort. His ultimate goal is not to pamper us, but to perfect us spiritually and mold us into his image, the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus gave himself to restore a relationship, to create a people who would live as servants of his by serving others and proclaiming the good news and loving others in his name. As Christ gave himself, so God wants us to give ourselves for others. So as we come to the Lord's table this morning, can we consider the example of the servanthood of Jesus on that night when he was betrayed there in the upper room? And maybe take a moment to reflect on our own attitude toward the kind of servanthood that Christ has asked us to emulate. Jesus said it this way, I have not come to be served, but to serve. Bow your heads with me, would you please? Heavenly Father, as we come to this time of coming to the Lord's table, I ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would help each one of us in this moment to just take a second to consider the incredible example of what it meant to be a servant as exemplified by Christ on that day. There were 12 other guys in that room that should have taken up the towel, but their pride, their self-seeking took over, Lord. And so you got up, Lord, took off your outer clothing and wrapped that towel and began to work down every single one of those guys. Reclining at the table with their feet hanging out behind them, nasty from the day and its journey. You took the water, you washed their feet, and you dried it. Showing us, Jesus said, from the very beginning, you had made the decision to come into this filthy world and cleanse us through your precious blood. And Lord, we celebrate the fact that we have forgiveness of sin through Jesus Christ. As we come to the table, Lord, we celebrate it. But Lord, I pray that this table this morning will be more than just a table celebrating our life in you. But Lord, that maybe we would consider, Lord, what's my attitude towards serving others around me? Oh Lord, I'll do certain things, but I'm above this or that. I don't mind working with these people, but not those over there, that one over there. Jesus, I'm so glad that you didn't pick and choose that day. You washed all the disciples' feet, including the feet of the one who would betray you. Father, may each of us this morning consider, am I following the example of my Lord in my willingness to be a servant to all? With your heads bowed, and as we continue in a spirit of worship, I'm going to invite you to come and ask that you would exit the aisles to the outside of where you're seated. Come down the center aisle and then return to your seats. We'll use the center aisle simply as kind of a one way to the Lord's table and then back. Then once everyone's received the elements, if there are those who are unable to come forward, we'll serve you in your seat. Once everyone's received the elements, then we will take it together. May God bless you as you come to His table this morning. Anyone that was unable to be served, you would like for us to serve you? Raise your hand and we'll come to you. Anyone else who would like to be served? Your hands, you hold the cup and the bread, representative of Christ's blood and his body. As we take it this morning, understand that his blood was shed and his body was broken, that you might have everlasting life. As you come to the table this morning, you consider the salvation that is ours through Jesus Christ, and we celebrate. In your church this morning, the other reflection as we take the bread and the cup. As Father, am I showing your example to the world by being a servant to those around me? On the night he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it and gave thanks. And he gave it to each of his disciples and he said, "This is a symbol of my body which is broken for you. Take and eat. And be thankful." And likewise, after supper, he took the cup and he raised it toward the heaven. And he gave thanks and he said, "This is the symbol of my blood, which is poured out for the sins of many." As often as you do, remember, my blood was shed for you. And be thankful. Father, our desire is to follow the example of Christ, to be a servant to those around us. As you said there in those verses 15, 16, and 17 of our scripture this morning, you said, "I've given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them." And Father, we thank you for the fact that we can be your servants. We can be the servant of the Most High, and yet, Lord, in being a servant of the Most High, we must find ourselves also the servant to those around us. And so may we follow your example. May we not look to the stature or the position of those to whom we serve, but may our service be based clearly on the love you expressed to us. All God's people said, amen. Stand with me, will you please?